It says in verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. The two verses that I want to impress upon you this morning are verse 32, where at the end of the verse says that he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies, and also verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to the only wise God be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your mercy this morning. We're thankful that this book is a book that shows us your mercies over and over and over again. And then, Lord, we can look at our lives and see how that you've been merciful day after day, year after year. Father, I am thankful for your mercies. Lord, I pray now that you would help me to say something that would give hope, say something that would edify the church, say something that would lift up the fallen. And Lord, if there be anyone here that knows you not, may something be said this morning that would direct their heart to you and cause them to want to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, Father, have your way. Speak through me this morning. Give me the words that you want me to say. Help me not to just read a bunch of stuff off a piece of paper. Father, may the Holy Spirit fill my mouth. Give me the words to say, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
I've been thinking about mercy for a couple weeks now. In the Bible, when you read Paul's opening salutations, many times he says, grace and peace, grace and peace. Get over there in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, I believe it's 2nd John, that John opens up, and he says, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. And if there's three things that we need in this world, it's grace. We need the grace of God. We need the mercy of God, and we need the peace of God.
Yes.
And I'm thankful that I can give you the good news this morning that grace, mercy, and peace is available to anybody that will put their trust in Jesus Christ. If you don't understand the mercy of God, then come to the Lord and let Him show you some mercy. All you have to do to understand mercy is just take a look at your life with all of its faults, with all of its failures, with all of its flaws, with all of its sin, and realize if it wasn't for the mercy of God, you'd be consumed.
Yes.
If it wasn't for the mercy of God, I'd have been a goner a long time ago. But I'm thankful this morning for God's mercy.
Amen.
When I looked up the definition of mercy, it says that benevolence, mildness, and tenderness of heart, which disposes a person to overlook injuries or to treat an offender better than he deserves. And brother, I can say that God has treated this offender much better than he deserves, and I attribute that to the mercy of the Lord. It says also, a merciful is tender compassion, unwilling to punish for injuries. Man, I'll tell you what, I've injured the Lord. I've injured a lot of people. But I am thankful for the mercy of God that allows me to go unpunished when I should be punished. If I got what I deserved, it would be an eternity in hell. If you got what you deserved, it'd be an eternity in hell. But because of God's grace and because of God's mercy, we've escaped that place, and we can lay our heads down at night and have peace in our heart, knowing that if we never open our eyes in this world, we'll open them in a better world, and it's all due to God's goodness, His grace and to His mercy. The Apostle Paul was well aware of the mercy of God. And he said about the mercy of the Lord in verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The first thing I want to say about the mercy that Paul obtained is that this mercy came unto him through the Lord Jesus Christ, and he needed this mercy. Paul needed mercy. And you and I need mercy. And Paul said, I obtained mercy. Here's a man that compelled the saints to blaspheme. I don't know what kind of torture he used. I don't know what kind of strategies he used. I know this. He stated that he compelled saved people to blaspheme God. A man that does that, you know what he needs? He needs mercy. Not only did he compel them to blaspheme, but the Lord said to him on the road to Damascus, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. He went after them and hunted them down like they were wild dogs. He made sure they were put in prison. He made sure they suffered. He made sure they were persecuted. He made sure that they were put to death in some cases. If a man like this is ever going to get saved, if a man like this is ever going to go without being punished by God Almighty, it's only because that God is a merciful God, and he obtained mercy from God when he should have gone to hell for these dastardly deeds. He was a man that when Stephen was being stoned, when that religious crowd got in such an uproar, when they gnashed their teeth upon this man and began to hurl the stones in on him, when they stoned Stephen, it was Saul that was encouraging them. It was Saul that gathered up their coats and took care of the coats while they were flinging the stones at Stephen, and he was consenting unto the death of Stephen. If ever a man is going to escape the judgment of God, a man like this, the only way he can escape the judgment of God is by God showing tender, compassionate mercy on him and being willing to forgive him and to allow him to go unpunished. Paul said that he was a man that obtained mercy. But you know, we think, well, Paul was a pretty bad man. And then it's hard for us sometimes to think of just how bad this man was in his unregenerate state. Because we read 13 books in our New Testament that were written by Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And that sort of overshadows the fact how bad this man was. But let me show you what he said. He says in verse 15, he said that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He wrote that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit too. He said, when it came to sinners, I'm chief. All the rest are Indians. I'm the chief when it comes to sinners. No one is worse than me when it comes to sinners. Paul was a man that obtained mercy. He showed no mercy when it came to the saints, but he obtained mercy. I'm glad this morning that God's a merciful God, aren't you? I'm glad that in His character, in the attributes that surround the personage of God, there is one attribute that stands out tall and high above many of the others, even though all the attributes of God are great and wonderful and glorious, but this attribute of mercy. When a man is condemned, he stands before a judge and says, I'm guilty. The jury's found me guilty. The evidence has found me guilty. I confess that I did the crime. I'm guilty. And I throw myself upon the mercy of the court. Sometimes the court will have mercy, and sometimes the court will not have mercy. But there's never been a sinner that stood before God and said, I'm vile. I deserve to go to hell. I'm a wicked wretch. I don't deserve anything but the most horrible punishment that you can think of. But I'm casting myself on your mercy. Be merciful to me, a sinner. There's never been one sinner that came and cried for mercy that God didn't say, I'm going to be merciful.
Amen.
He's a merciful God.
Amen.
He has that attribute to show mercy on the very worst of sinners. In Psalm 136, it's always been a great, wonderful psalm for me to read, and I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but in every one of these verses, it ends up the same way. Every single verse in Psalm 136 winds up this way. His mercy abideth forever, for His mercy endureth forever, for His mercy endureth forever. And just let your eye go down through there and see how it ends up. For His mercy endureth forever, His mercy endureth forever. And then you get down there in verse 23, and it says, who remembered us in our low estate, in our low estate, for His mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for His mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. Not only is God a God of mercy, and one of His great attributes is that of mercy, but that mercy, the Bible says, endureth forever. It endureth forever. I am thankful this morning for the mercy of God. And Paul the Apostle says in 1 Timothy chapter 16, he said, I obtained mercy. He obtained mercy because he needed mercy. When I read through the Bible, I see many examples of mercy. Take your Bible and look in Luke chapter 10. Here's a good example of mercy. We call this the story of the Good Samaritan. And I'm not going to read all of this. You know the story. It says in verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Brother, let me show you where mercy kicked in. Mercy kicked in when the Samaritan, not when he saw the man, because every one of them saw the man, it kicked in where he came where he was. Mercy allowed that good Samaritan to come over to the man that had been beaten, to the man that had been wounded, to the man that had been left for dead. Mercy brought the good Samaritan right to where he was. And listen, when you were wounded and bruised and left for dead by the devil, it was mercy that allowed God to come right to where you were. In mercy, he found me. Isn't there a song that we sing like that? In mercy, he found me. Maybe I'm dreaming, but brother, I'll tell you what, it's still true. In mercy, he found me. Mercy. And then let me show you where mercy took over. Mercy brought him to, brought the good Samaritan to the man, and then it says, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds. Not only did mercy bring him to this man that was left for dead and desolate, but he bound up his wounds. Have you ever been wounded real bad? Have you ever been in pain and greatly hurt? Somebody showed some compassion? I'm not talking about the doctor just did his job. I'm talking about somebody that came and they tenderly took care of that wound. They tenderly, they didn't rip the bandage off to examine it. They tenderly removed it and put something in it to cleanse it. And then they tenderly bandaged it back up. They smiled and said, "It's looking better." And in a couple days, you won't even know you've been wounded. You know what that is? That's mercy right there. And this good Samaritan comes over, and in mercy, he binds up the wounds and the bruises that this man has. He saw him, had compassion on him, went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. As that man was laying there, maybe coming in and out of consciousness, having been passed up by two other men already, maybe taking the last ounce of energy that he had in his body to cry help when somebody came by and they just passed on by, all of a sudden he feels this soothing touch and oil going into his wounds. And somebody's taking care of him when he couldn't care for himself. And that's the way God is. Because, man, we've been wounded by sin, and maybe it didn't leave physical wounds. But think of the emotional. The emotional wounds of sin. The mental wounds of sin. The remembrance of sins of bygone days. How the Lord takes His blood and just covers us with that blood and forgives us of those sins. And then the Holy Spirit says, everything is going to be okay. That's mercy. That's the mercy of the Lord that does that. Tenderness, compassion on someone undeserving, someone that deserves much worse, but gets much better. That's the mercy of the Lord. The Apostle Paul said, I obtained mercy. I obtained mercy because he needed mercy. Not only did he need mercy, but I want you to notice this. He obtained the mercy of the Lord, and he did not obtain it by works. Look in 1 Timothy again. Back there in 1 Timothy. And he says in verse 16, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ, might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. He obtained mercy because he needed it. He obtained mercy because there was no other way that he could get it outside of God giving it to him. And he said, I obtained it. I obtained it. In other words, Paul could never right the wrongs that he had done. His sin was against Jesus Christ. He had persecuted the Lord by persecuting the body of Christ, those Christians.
Amen.
And the Lord said, why persecutest thou me? There was no way that he could ever do enough work to make the wrongs that he had done right. That's why a work system of salvation is so invalid. A man does one bad work, does one good work, cancel out the bad work. A man does wrong to a person over here, but he does right to a person over here, and he says, well, that cancels it out. But a man does a very bad wrong to a person over here, maybe he kills a person over here. He can never bring a person back to life over here. How can that wrong be canceled out by a whole lifetime of right? It can't be. How can one sin against a holy and righteous God be canceled out by a lifetime of good works over here on this side. When you smash your fist into the face of God and have persecuted Jesus Christ, that's what Paul did. How can a lifetime of good works cancel that out? And you see, David knew this because he said, against God, against thee, and thee only have I sinned. He realized, yes, his sin was against Bathsheba, his sin was against Uriah, his sin was against other people, but the main person that his sin was against was the Lord God Almighty. And when a man sins, he sins against God. And there's no way a lifetime of works can ever justify one sin against God. The only way that will ever be taken care of is by God's mercy. And Paul said, I obtained mercy. He said, I obtained it. He said, the Lord showed it to me. It wasn't by any works. I obtained it because He offered it and I accepted it. And here's a merciful God that stretches out His hand. And He says, here's my hand. And I'm stretching it out. And if you'll come to me, I'll show you mercy. I'll show you grace. I'll show you love. I'll show you peace. Come. Come. And He leaves the choice up to a man. And the man says, no. I don't want the mercy of God. Paul said, the best thing that ever happened to me is I obtained mercy. I obtained mercy. Albeit for this cause, I obtained mercy. That in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering. He obtained mercy. He accepted that mercy. And He obtained it through Jesus Christ. It was through the Lord Jesus Christ that He obtained the mercy. There is another other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. The only way we can obtain the mercy of God is by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, when Jesus hung on that cross and the blood of God was shed, because that's whose blood was in Jesus. It wasn't the blood of Mary that was in Jesus, because the blood comes from the Father. Amen. And Mary was a virgin conceived by the Holy Ghost, so Jesus had the blood of God in His veins. And when He died and He shed that blood, it was the blood of God, who is an eternal God, the blood of God that still is enduring today and will throughout all ages. The blood of God is the only way that He could obtain mercy. The mercy of God. And He said, I've obtained this mercy through Jesus Christ. Listen, when Jesus died for you, it wasn't a martyr dying for a cause. It wasn't a good man dying for bad men. It wasn't a great man just laying down his life. It was God Almighty that was dying for the sins of all humanity. That old song says, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Paul said, I got mercy. I obtained it because I needed it. I obtained it through Jesus Christ. And I obtained it that Jesus might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to everlasting life. You see, God was long-suffering with him. God put up with him. He suffered long. When you suffer for somebody, when in Old English, the word suffer has to do with allowing. And he suffered. He allowed it. He was long-suffering. In other words, he allowed it to go on. for a time. So many times I look around and I say, how is it that God just doesn't wipe us all off the face of the earth? And the only thing I can come to, the only conclusion I can come to, is He wants to show His attributes a little bit longer. And those attributes, one of those attributes is long-suffering. So He suffers long with us. He suffers long with this world. He extends the invitation. He puts it out there. He extends His mercy. He extends His grace. He shows His love. He shows His goodness. That man might come to Him. That man might be drawn to Jesus Christ. And He suffers long. Paul said, that's why I have obtained the mercy of God. That I would be a pattern of long-suffering to all them who should hereafter believe. I'm thankful that God suffered long with me. That might mean that, you know, He gave me more than one chance. Would God be just if He said to a man, I'll give you one chance to be saved. If you say no, that's it. God would be just.
Yeah, amen.
But God, He doesn't deal with us that way. He's long-suffering. He shows us that love and that mercy, and He extends it, and He deals with us time after time after time after time. And how many times did I say no to Jesus before I ever said yes? Oh, how many times could He have justly cut me off in my sin before I said yes? How many times could I have gone out and sinned and died that very night in a lost condition and been in hell this very day? But it was His long suffering that let Him come to me one more time. And He showed me my need of salvation. I obtained mercy. Paul said that he obtained it through Christ Jesus, and he obtained it that he might be a pattern of the long-suffering of God. When you think of the sin that's taking place in this world today, it's only the long-suffering and love of God that's keeping us from going into obliteration. I think about, and the reason I think about it is because this week I heard about it, a Canton Baptist church. Used to be a Bible-believing church up in Canton. On Super Bowl Sunday, they put the big screen up down in the basement of the church. And they have the fathers and mothers and kids and whoever wants to come. And I thought to myself, after listening to the news this past week, and how outraged people were at the halftime show, and this halftime show being played in the basement of what was one time a Bible-believing church, that no longer takes that stand on the Bible. They've got a room that's painted entirely black. They call that the Rock Room, the Rock Cafe. And the kids come in there and they listen to the contemporary music. And it was once a Bible-believing church, a church that Dr. Ruckman went up to and preached, a church that had the Christian Hall of Fame, where many of his paintings of martyrs, hoods, hung in the hall. And it would take you 2 hours to go around, at least, to go around and look at all those paintings and read about those martyrs. That church, last Sunday, showed the Super Bowl and the halftime. They got a black room called the Rock Cafe. And I think about the way things are going. And you know, it's only the mercy of God.
Amen.
That keeps us from being cut off. God is merciful. And Paul said this, last of all, Paul said, he obtained mercy that it might be a pattern in all them that should hereafter believe. That's a verse of hope right there. Because that means to every believer, every single day, his mercy is extended. And because of that, we're not consumed.
Amen.
Someday, God's mercy won't be there for this world. Someday, Jesus will come back. And a man will call for mercy, but there will be no mercy extended in that day to that man. But today is a day of mercy.
Yeah.
And today, we can obtain the mercy of God. Even though we have failed through the weak, the mercy of God is there to forgive us. Even though we've not been what we've ought to have been every day of our lives since we've been saved, the mercy of God is still there to make us what we ought to be. Even though maybe our plans have been dashed and we are doing things differently than what we know we should be doing, the mercy of God is still there for us. And it can be obtained. And Paul said, I'm a pattern to all them who will hereafter believe on Jesus Christ. Mercy is available today. I read that a soldier in Napoleon's army committed a crime for which he was sentenced to die. The mother of this young man came to Napoleon and said, won't you be merciful on my son? He's just a young boy. He was scared. He didn't know what he was doing. Won't you be merciful? And Napoleon said, his crime does not warrant mercy. And the mother said, if his crime warranted mercy, then it wouldn't be mercy. You see, it's when the crime warrants no mercy that he extends the mercy to us. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning for your mercy. So good to us. We can't do without it. It means the difference between life and death so many times. It means the difference between us being able to come to you with all of our problems and our failures and our cares, and you graciously and in mercy forgiving us, helping us, and encouraging us. And Lord, if it wasn't for you giving us hope, we'd have very little hope. And we're thankful for your mercy. Now, Lord, I pray for these folks. God, I pray that someone this morning might realize that mercy is not something they work for. It's just something that it's extended to us because of your greatness. And we're thankful for it. And if there's anyone in here this morning, Lord, that's never come to obtain mercy so that they could be saved, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.